news today, oh boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Donald Trump on Thursday pushed back at Bob Woodward's revelations that Trump admitted to downplaying the pandemic threat in February, arguing that Woodward would have come forward with the news sooner if he thought Trump was endangering public safety.
If Bob Woodward thought what I said was bad, then he should have immediately, right after I said it, gone out to the authorities so they can prepare and let him know. But he didn't think it was bad, and he said he didn't think it was bad. He actually said he didn't think it was bad. The only one that said it was bad or thinks it was bad were the fake news media, because they take it and they try and put it a certain way. If Bob Woodward thought it was bad, then he should have immediately gone out publicly, not wait 4 months. You know, he's had that statement for 4 months, maybe 5 months. He's had it for a long time. It was a series of taped interviews, mostly by telephone.
He's got an excuse for everything. Woodward taped Trump in February and March for his forthcoming book, Rage. Trump said in the on-the-record interviews that he knew the coronavirus was deadly.
It goes through air, Bob. That's always tougher than the touch. You know, the touch, you don't have to touch things, right? But the air, you just breathe the air. That's how it's passed. And so that's a very tricky one. That's a very delicate one. It's also more deadly than your strenuous flus.
But Trump admitted that he minimized the threat to prevent a panic.
To be honest with you,
sure, I want you to.
I wanted to always play it down. I still like playing it down.
Yes, sir.
Because I don't want to create a panic.
So that's what he said to Woodward. Here's how Trump tried to spin it Thursday in his daily dump on the stump session.
I want to show a level of confidence, and I want to show strength as a leader, and I want to show that our country is going to be fine one way or the other, whether we lose one person. We shouldn't lose any, because this shouldn't have happened. This is China's fault. This is nobody's fault but China. China should not have allowed it to happen.
Joe Biden pushed back.
You saw what Columbia Medical School pointed out in March. Had he acted 1 week earlier, there'd be over 31,000 more people alive. Added 2 weeks earlier, it would have been 50-some thousand still alive. This caused people to die. And what did he do the whole time? He acknowledged that you breathe it, it's in the air, and he won't put on a mask. He's talking about it's ridiculous to put on masks. What do you need social distancing for? Why have any of these rules? It was all about making sure the stock market didn't come down, that his wealthy friends didn't lose any money, and that he could say that, in fact, anything that happened had nothing to do with him. He waved a white flag. He walked away. He didn't do a damn thing. Think about it. Think about what he did not do. And it's almost criminal.
Meanwhile, the number of newly reported COVID-19 cases is going down in about 30 states. But Dr. Anthony Fauci still warns.
I just think we need to hunker down and get through this fall and winter, because it's not going to be easy. We know every time we lift restrictions, we get a blip. I mean, it's whack-a-mole.
A new study from the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention finds adults who tested positive for the coronavirus were about twice as likely to have reported dining at a restaurant in the days before becoming sick. The CDC has also updated its death rate statistics. Overall, the death rate for COVID-19 is less than 1% for everyone but people over the age of 70. But those proportions rise dramatically if people are hospitalized. The CDC also calculates that 40% of COVID-19 cases are asymptomatic, but warns that those people can still pass the virus on to others. Meanwhile, the death toll from our other national disaster, the West Coast wildfires, rose on Thursday to at least 23 as dozens of blazes continue to spread in California, Washington, and Oregon. The August Complex fire in Northern California has become the largest fire in California state history. 37 fires merged and now covers over 471,000 acres in the Mendocino National Forest. As of Thursday, the August Complex fire was only 24% contained. Meanwhile, Oregon is battling its most intense fires on record. Authorities say they've already told 500,000 people, or 10% of the state's population, to evacuate their homes. So if you, like me, have been wondering where the charges are against the police officers who shot and killed Breonna Taylor 6 months ago, well, we might get an answer soon. In fact, decisions in three prominent incidents of police violence could be coming soon. In Louisville, Kentucky, a grand jury was impaneled this week to investigate the March police shooting of Breonna Taylor. The state attorney general says a charging decision should come soon. New York's attorney general announced that she will soon form a grand jury to probe Daniel Prude's death in Rochester police custody. Prude died back in March, and the release of police body cam video last week led to the suspension of seven officers and allegations of a cover-up. And in Kenosha, Wisconsin, the shooting of Jacob Blake is being investigated by state and federal officials. A state Justice Department report to determine whether charges are appropriate is due to be released September 22nd. So the House of Representatives is set to return from its August recess on Monday. The Senate reconvened this week. And on Thursday, Democrats blocked the so-called skinny coronavirus relief bill put forth by Senate Republicans. All the Democrats voted against it. All Republicans, with the exception of Rand Paul, voted for it, bringing the final tally to 52-47, meaning it fell 8 votes short of meeting the 60-vote threshold to overcome a filibuster. With virtually no talks between the two sides scheduled, it's highly unlikely that Congress would approve more aid before the November election. Just unbelievable. You see, Senate Democrats said the $650 million package wasn't close to being enough. House Democrats had passed a $3 trillion relief package in May, the HEROES Act, which Mitch McConnell refused to bring up for a vote, but they've said they're willing to compromise and that they'd accept a $2.4 trillion package. Republicans said their limited relief targeted the needs most lawmakers agreed on. Again, it's a drop in the bucket. You might recall that in July, in one of his many attempts to keep the census from accurately counting everyone living in the United States, Donald Trump signed a memorandum excluding undocumented immigrants from the census count for the purpose of reapportioning seats in the House of Representatives. A 3-judge panel from the U.S. District Court for the Southern District of New York ruled that Donald Trump's order would violate the statute governing congressional apportionment, which says that congressional seats must be allotted based on everyone living in the United States. The ruling came just hours after another federal judge ordered the Trump administration to turn over documents connected to the government's abrupt decision to end the 2020 census count a month earlier than the Census Bureau previously planned. And though we might not be hearing it from Trump's lackeys, Microsoft on Thursday announced that hackers from Russia, China, and Iran are trying to influence the 2020 presidential elections. Microsoft saying it detected cyber attacks targeting people and organizations, including, quote, unsuccessful attacks on people associated with the campaigns of both Trump and Biden. Russian hackers reportedly responsible for attacks on the 2016 Democratic presidential campaign have targeted more than 200 organizations, including political campaigns and parties, and they say their tactics have evolved. And from the Trump administration, that's about it. Just when you thought they'd never agree on anything ever again, the U.S. Senate on Thursday did agree on a proposal to phase out planet-warming chemicals commonly used in air conditioners and refrigeration. The measure will be offered as an amendment to a bipartisan energy bill. Key Senate Republicans joined Democrats to move the proposal forward in a very rare split with the Trump administration, encouraged by both American companies and environmentalists. It's not immediately clear whether the bill would pass in time for Donald Trump to sign it before, well, hopefully, he's removed from office. And finally, Americans are marking Friday's 19th anniversary of the September 11th, 2001 terror attacks with gatherings at New York's World Trade Center, the Pentagon, and a field in Shanksville, Pennsylvania. Family members are on hand, as they have been every year, to honor the nearly 3,000 people who died, though this year's ceremonies are altered with fewer people around due to precautions to reduce the risk of spreading the virus. In New York City, bells will toll, but instead of a rotation of people reading the names of those who died, a recorded list is being broadcast over loudspeakers. There's no platform at Ground Zero for speeches, but Joe Biden and Vice President Mike Pence are expected to make appearances. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.